content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorn Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Hey, Junior, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. My sound's a little off. You know, we had Paul up here checking all the engineering at my home studio right before, so it's a little louder than normal in my ears. I'm going to have to adjust it.
Yeah, I would. I'm going to have to turn down, too, because I think he boosted up your levels.
He boosted me up.
Yeah,
all right.
You sound good, though.
Yeah, there you go. I think I just tweaked him. That sounds a little more normal, right?
Yeah, there we go.
Is that good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So are you excited about the Super Bowl? I know I am.
Oh, always. Yeah, I'm excited. I got to DJ a party first, and then I'm going to go home and finish watching the game.
Wow. So. Okay. So where is it, a private party?
No. It's just a patio party in Louisville at Chill, where I DJ every weekend. So
Nice. Yeah. So you think Tom Brady's going to pull it off again this year? What do you think?
I think so. I don't know. The guy is just, I mean, every time
phenomenal.
Every time people doubt him, I think that just fuels him, and he's been doubted, you know, well, up until recently, you know, the beginning of the season, they all doubted him and Gronk. So I think he's going to do it. I mean, it's his 10th Super Bowl appearance. He's got the experience. I think he's got it.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I'm so excited. I can't wait to watch it. I'm not even sure if I've been this excited about a Super Bowl since the last time the Bills were in.
Yeah. Well, it's two great teams, so I think regardless of who you're going for, everybody's in for a great game. So
yeah, I agree, and I agree so much. And it's happy, and it's Furbulous Friday, so happy Furbulous Friday,
thank
everyone.
You.
We have a fantastic show. Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about Pet Positive Resolutions Part 2. We never got to finish it in January, so we're finishing it in February. But a lot of, you know, I've had a lot of experiences in my lifetime with pets, but especially in the last couple of weeks, so much going on with my pets. I was at the veterinarian's office, Dr. Jimmy Norris, who I just adore. He's such a great vet. I was there first thing this morning with my cat, Marie, who has a feeding tube. And so, you know, I've been feeding her every 2 to 4 hours for weeks now. Mm. But she is getting better. And so, you know, we love our pets. We all do. Or you should anyway, right? If
yes.
you have a pet. I know you do. How's your little girl doing right
she's
now?
She's doing great. She's
don't
awesome.
Tell me. Evie.
Yes.
Evie, right?
Yeah.
Evie.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, she's doing good.
Are you guys still walking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We didn't do it today, though, because I had a little too much work to do this morning, so.
Yeah. Do you talk to her when you walk her?
Yes, I talk to her. I don't know. I talk
do
to her
say?
Like. I don't know. I talk to her like in little boy. I'm like, come on, let's go. My little baby talk to her.
But you don't like say, hey, Evie, check out that. What are they doing? Why is their garbage can still out?
They've been for two days. She stops like every 5 seconds, and I'm like, why you got to keep stopping? What are you doing? How do you have that much pee?
Well, you know what? I'm going to ask Maura Davies. That's a great introduction because I bet she knows the answer. Maura Davies, she is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA of Texas. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Their website is spca.org or at Instagram at SPCA Texas or Facebook at SPCA of Texas page. Okay, so Maura, why does little Evie stop and pee every 5 seconds or sniff?
You know, it could be a lot of things. So whether it could be there's really interesting things going on in the environment, dogs smell and their urge to mark is going to be different in every dog and every situation. So it could be just something is just really interesting. There are a lot of other dogs maybe, or maybe there's wildlife coming and tinkling in those same spots. And so the world is a really interesting place for dogs. Their noses are so much more sensitive than ours.
Right.
And some dogs will stop and pee every 4 seconds to where you are like, oh my gosh, how is there still anything in your bladder? While others will just do it all in one go. It's just kind of a person, I don't know, a personality thing.
Yeah. Well, and I guess it depends upon the breed and the age too, right?
Well, perhaps. And then also the really important thing I want to get in there is that if you notice a change in your pet's urinary habits, like if they are kind of all at oncers and then they switch to like dribbling out or the opposite, definitely ask your veterinarian to check that out.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happened to my cat, Butters. Had three sick pets over the last month or so.
Oh.
But Butters had I was telling Paul, you know, he had because he was in the office while I was getting trained. And he was up here in the studio, I should say. But Butters started standing weird, Maura, trying to get my attention and like taking and almost like posing, like I'm trying to tell me I'm super uncomfortable. And I took him to the vet. One vet misdiagnosed and said he didn't have a blockage, and then he ended up with a blockage, and so he had to have the catheter and he had to be put under anesthesia a couple of times while they got out all the sediment and the blockage and everything. It looked so painful. It looked really painful, you know. But he's doing good now, so you do have to pay attention is the point of the story, right? If you notice changes in your pet's behavior, typically they're trying to tell you something. Right?
And that's so true. And the complicating factor there is a lot of times dogs are going to be more apt to show you those changes more than cats. Cats are just exceptionally good at hiding illness. You know, I've heard all kinds of explanations like, you know, cats are, they've been domesticated for a less amount of time, shorter amount of time rather, and they just are still, they have more of those instincts to, you know, preserve themselves and not show weakness. I've heard all kinds of things. Again, I'm not a veterinarian, but you got to pay extra special close attention to cats sometimes.
There's so much to know. Like my cat Marie has a collar on right now, and I took it off a couple of times to let her stretch out and, you know, give her a little massage after I, you know, did the tube feeding. And but Dr. Norris said today, he's like, nah, don't do that because, you know, she could shake her head or, you know, it just, you don't want that to happen, but she's getting better. Yeah. And so, you know,
I'm so glad.
Yeah, she's getting better. I'm happy to say she's gained weight. But, you know, here's the strange thing. Here's how it happened. We think it was, I can't think of the name of the particular diagnosis right now, but it had to do with her liver. And it was caused, we think, by the other cats. And I think it was Tiger, who's a little aggressive, was a perfect name, right? Tiger. And so he was bullying her and not letting her get to the food and water and being very territorial. And so we didn't really notice, you know, and so. So, because it happened kind of over the course of a couple of weeks. And then I just, you know, one day said, gosh, Marie, you look so thin. And I picked her up and I was startled how thin she was. And sure enough, she had gone into like liver failure. She was in critical condition. And so, and like you said, like she was kind of hiding. We didn't know. And so anything can happen with pets, especially cats. But, you know, that's why our topic today is so important. You know, regular pet care maintenance. That's what we're talking about today. So let's start with bathing our pets. So how often should we give our pet a bath, Maura? And should we bathe our cats? Because cats don't like baths, do they?
You know, some cats love water. Some cats hate water. But I think more cats hate it than love it or even tolerate it. There's probably that middle ground, right? The tolerating guys. But on, and for dogs, the best rule of thumb is you can bathe your dog about once a month unless they're like super, super dirty. Like they got into something and you're like, whoa, we got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Especially be really careful and try to bathe less often, perhaps, or make sure you're speaking with your veterinarian about using a particular shampoo if they have sensitive skin, if bathing overdries their skin. So you have to use the proper shampoo. Don't just use human shampoo because dogs need a little bit of the oil to keep their coat healthy and their skin healthy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's use your best judgment with those guidelines. But as always, and I don't want to like sound like a broken record, but don't hesitate to reach out to your veterinarian if you're unsure.
Well, yeah, there's so much to know, like I said, and you made me think of something. It's funny now, but it wasn't when it happened. This was years ago. One of my first cats, his name was Armand, okay? And so I forget why I gave him a bath, but I gave him a bath. He got into something, I don't remember. And I put him in the tub and I went to give him a bath. He had a seizure and I thought I killed him. Oh, I thought he died. I was like, oh my God.
Oh,
and
my
his
gosh.
Whole,
oh,
his arms scary. Went out real stiff, you know, and his legs. And I was like, oh my gosh. But it scared the bejesus out of me, but he did come out of it. But so, you know that if you give a cat a bath, that could happen. I mean, it happened to me.
It can be so scary. And some cats just detest water. Some cats will stick their head under a faucet though. But with cats, the same thing, like don't use human shampoo. Their skin is extra delicate. And remember that cats bathe themselves using their tongue. And so that it not only can human shampoo irritate your cat's skin, but it could get really bad chemicals in their body. But furthermore, to what you were saying, Bernadette, like be really careful. Like cats are pretty good at self-grooming. Like I'll just give you my own personal example for my cat Opal, who's sleeping next to me on a chair. I love it. We don't give her baths. She's an indoor only kitty. She doesn't get stinky. Now, of course, if there's a little bit of an accident because somebody maybe gave her a little bit of human food and they weren't supposed to, one of my kids, and she has some little mess on her hiney, you can spot clean that with bathing wipes and spray. So there's different things that you can do. It's great to have some of that sort of spot cleaning pet safe stuff that you can get for pets specifically just for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be careful what you put on your hiney.
Yeah.
Or their hiney. Oh my gosh. Well, I guess that's a perfect place to take a little break. More coming up. Stay tuned with Maura Davies. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior and Maura Davies. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We're talking with Maura Davies about regular pet care maintenance. Maura is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA of Texas. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Their website is spca.org. You know, Maura, I haven't asked you this in a while. What year was the SPCA, established?
Ah, yes. The SPCA of Texas was established in 1938. I won't talk too long because I will talk for like 7 hours about this. But one of our founders, Emily Schuyler, was an absolutely amazing woman. Like, talk about a pioneer of animal welfare in North Texas. She was from New York, from parents who immigrated from, I think, Northern Europe. And her parents came over, and I can't remember if she was born here or not. Anyway, she learned all about animal welfare in New York, traveled to California to learn some more, and came to Texas. So she went coast to coast, came here to North Texas, was helping animals out of her home in Southern Dallas for many years, and just built up, you know, worked with friends. She was actually a very influential woman in the Dallas area, and went head-to-head against city council, various judges, et cetera, in the name of helping animals. She actually broke into the animal services shelter one time to give the animals food and blankets. So
I could see myself doing that.
I mean, we love all of our partner at Animal Care and Control, and they're amazing. That was that was the 30s. It was a different time, right? And who knows? So she got arrested on at least one occasion for feeding squirrels. So, I mean, she was a colorful character.
I've actually jumped fences before with cutters, big, like chain cutters. There was a Doberman once years ago. Oh my gosh. And it was basically chained to a stairway. This is in upstate New York. We're talking 20 below, no bed, no way to get out of the wind, nothing. And so we cut the chain and brought the dog to my house. Never looked back. But you have to do stuff like that sometimes. You just do. There's a lot of injustice out there, and you got to fight it. So got to put on your cape sometimes. But I love that story, and I'm glad I asked. But today our topic is regular pet care maintenance. So how often should we be brushing our pets, Maura? I think a lot of people forget about that.
Grooming can be very important. And again, it's going to depend on the animal, on their age, on their potential health conditions. But kind of generally speaking, you're probably going to want to brush your dog or cat, unless they have like super, super short fur, at least a few times a week. So if they have short hair, it can still help cut down, especially for cats, on hairballs. So even cats with short hair, of course, all cats who groom themselves are going to be likely to get a hairball. So especially for cats, that's important. Long-haired dogs, it's important. There are times during the year that kind of spring and fall, give or take, that pets, quote-unquote, blow their coat if they're longer-coated animals, especially if they're outside a little bit. You're going to want to make sure that you use the right kind of brushes, and there's a million kinds. There's curry combs, there's the Furminator, whatever kind you're using, just make sure you know how to use it. And if you're concerned at all with anything beyond a gentle brush, I'm going to be my broken record self and talk to your veterinarian about the best tools and how to use them and how to groom your pet, or, go to a good groomer and work with them. So there's lots to do, but brushing is just part of it. I mean, there's cleaning ears, making sure eyes are okay. There's nail trimming. There's like all of that. So
Trimming.
It makes a huge difference in your pet's health if they're dirty, if they're matted. Mats, if you don't brush your pet's fur the right way or enough, they can get mats that actually form and get really like the knot up and knot up until they get close to skin. And I've seen all too many animals come in through rescue cases where their skin is actually being ripped away from their body by the knot.
Horrible. I have seen that too. One of my most beloved rescues, Spunky the Spunk Man. He was a Bichon, and he had been on the street for over a year. He was hit by a car, like his jaw was broken, most of his teeth were knocked out. He was in horrific condition, and he only lived about a year after I adopted him. But What a little man he was. He was just such a good boy. And he's the one that I used to cook the White Castles for at night when I would come home from either Pizza Patron or Wingstop, whichever restaurant I was working at. And I would, you know, do the White Castles for him and chop them up. And he would stand by the microwave and bark like he knew that what was going on. So, you know, so many stories, too many to tell. You know, Junior, do you have any animal stories you want to share today? We never ask you.
Not really. I mean, I don't have any like off the top of my head.
Off the top of your head.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had before Evie, you know, we had our black lab and she was just the best. But, you know, I don't know. She followed me around all the time. She was just like my dog. So that was,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of the head. I just remember her always being next to me constantly. And I kind of missed that, but sorry to make it all sad.
Yeah, no, didn't make it all sad.
It's the first thing I thought of, though.
No. Well, Mick I've had forever, you know, and he's, you know, I swear, you know, Furbulous Fridays are brought to you by Castor and Pollux, which is the dog and cat food I've used for a very long time, especially dog food. I think I used a little longer before I switched over to the cat food. But, you know, Mick is old as the hills. Now we're having a debate. Is he 17? Is he 16? People are getting different reports back because we used to adopt and rescue so many animals. It was hard to remember, but you know, Mick has got really like three paws in the grave, but he's still hanging in there, you know, and he sleeps in my bed every night. And and he's a lab mix too. Found him at the end of the street that I live on still, you know, on Barnes Bridge. And they add so much to our lives, at least in this house. And it sounds like yours and Morris too, but you know, it is important that they get regular pet maintenance. So who's in charge at your house, Junior? Take care of Evie? Are you the one that baths her and grooms her?
So,
or do the kids do it?
No, my wife does the grooming and the bathing, and then we do the walking and the feeding, and then my kids play with her. And I mean, she's the family dog. I mean, we all love and take care of her, I think, equally. So,
yeah. It's all good. Have you guys heard about PETA trying to, and Ingrid and her initiative to get all of us to quit saying stuff like, you know, stuff about referring to animals as subservient? Do you know what I'm talking about, Maura, the campaign? Are you familiar with it?
You know, I'm not familiar with that. I'm game. Pets are family members. They're our confidants. Yeah. They're our best friends. I mean, use those words.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, like the movie Home Alone, where he says, you know, where he plays the tape about you dirty animal, animals dirty and stuff like that. Just referring to, like, when something's dirty, it's an animal. We want to remove that from our language, basically. I think it's a great idea. I do, because animals are people, too. To me, anyway.
I would like for people to stop saying "you dirty rat," because rats are actually quite clean and extremely lovely.
I know, and extremely smart, smarter than some humans I know. But but anyway. Okay, so what about pets? Their teeth. That's a big one, right? Their teeth and their nails. Their nails is another big one.
Yep, teeth and nails. Teeth, it really is important to brush your pet's teeth. I know a lot of people out there aren't used to that, but really bad periodontal disease can lead to other illnesses that can affect your pet's health and can lead to extreme illness and or death. So I know that sounds like really in your face, but it's just the truth. And so that's why it's important. That's why veterinarians check out pets' teeth when they come in. Mm-hmm. That's why there's teeth cleaning. These are important things. And then thinking about pets' nails, that's also a major potential health concern, because in the wild, dogs and cats would wear down their nails when they're walking around. They're, you know, traveling over different terrain. But when we have domesticated pets that don't have that ability to wear their nails down, the nails can get too long. They can grow into their pads, which can cause all kinds of horrible pain, infection. They can break. That toenails can be broken if they're running or playing, and that can, you know, rip them out. It's really painful. And then if all of that over time can also cause, long nails can cause arthritis. So yeah, it's important to pay attention, to stay in tune with what your pet needs, no matter what kind of grooming you're talking about, teeth, nails, ears, coat, et cetera. All of that is again, why it's important to have those regular checkups with your veterinarian so they can help you. It's called having good animal husbandry.
Yeah.
And we're caring for these little sweet, wonderful family members who make our lives so immeasurably better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, you know what? I think we're going to go to break. And Maura, I always appreciate you jumping on the air with us. Is there anything that we've forgotten that's important that you need to get out, though, before we go?
Oh, gosh. You know, always, everyone, please spay neuter your pets.
Oh, yeah. It's spay and neuter week, isn't it? Or month. Spay and neuter month at the SPCA.
Yep.
It's so important. There's such an overpopulation of animals still in this country. It is so, so important. And weren't we going to give away a spay and neuter? Weren't we going to do that? I think we were. I forgot about it. But you know what? We'll put it out on social. We will. We'll put it out on social over the weekend. So go to One Life Radio on Instagram and Facebook and watch for it. And right now my social media team is going, what? But we're going to do it. I think it's important because I want to get behind the SPCA and everything that's important for, you know, for the animal movement here from One Life Radio and the whole country, right? We got to get behind you guys.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Maura Davies, check them out at spca.org. We're going to go to break. This is Furbulous Fridays brought to you by Castor and Pollux. We'll be right back with Dr. Ruth Ann Lobo. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I knew he must have been about 17. He was going strong, playing my favorite song, and I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
All right, everyone. It's Furbulous Friday here at One Life Radio, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. We are live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. And we have Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos with us. She is a lead veterinarian for Merrick Pet Care, the makers of our Furry Friday sponsor, Castor and Pollux, organic and responsibly sourced pet food. Dr. Lobos is a practicing veterinarian with more than 15 years of experience in the pet food industry. She loves sharing the power of pet nutrition with colleagues, pet parents, and friends. And her undergraduate studies, Dr. Ruth Ann pursued an animal science degree, and then she went on to receive a Doctor of Veterinarian Medicine, a DVM from Louisiana State University, and became a certified canine rehabilitation therapist. She is an avid marathoner and a triathlete and a proud mama to three active pups, Wrigley's, Stella, and Finn. Their website is castorpollexpet.com. Always a pleasure. Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos, how are you doing today?
I am doing well on this Friday. How are you?
I'm good. I've had a lot of sick pets in the last month, and so I may pick your brain a little bit here, Dr. Lobos. But we're continuing our topic from the last time you were on, which is pet positive resolutions. And so what we didn't get to, to learn or revisit your knowledge of pet first aid, you know, vet costs can really get expensive. So can you give us some examples of first aid that we can do at home before rushing to the vet? For instance, if our pet is throwing up or if our dog steps on glass or something sharp during a walk, what should we do?
Yeah, great question. And not only, you know, I think one of the other challenges too is just actually simply getting into the veterinarian, unfortunately, these days, because of the pandemic. We all, you know, it's kind of slowed us all down. And, our veterinarians, we want to make sure that we're doing things while we're taking care of our pets that are also safe for our pet parents that are bringing them in. And So a lot of veterinary clinics have gone to what's called concierge service, and you're probably, it sounds like a little bit too familiar with that these days,
yeah.
Where, you know, we basically just take the pet and bring them in while that pet parent is waiting in the car, and the exam and different diagnostics and tests are done in the clinic. And so that in itself has slowed down the process, which sometimes can, you know, make it a little more challenging to get into the office. So some of the things, you know, that I think about, and I'll use one of my own dogs as an example, is I had a chocolate lab named Drake, and he is still my heart and soul, even though now he's on the other side of the Rainbow Bridge. I let him out in the morning to go and do his business. And he comes back in and, you know, he's limping severely. And I immediately, because I am a helicopter pet parent, and I immediately go into this frenzy of, oh my gosh, did he break a leg? At the time he was about 12. So I'm like, oh my gosh, he has to have cancer or something. Like, I went to the extreme. Well, it turns out that when I looked at him after I kind of got my wits about me and actually looked at his paws, he had just stepped on something out in the backyard and put a severe crack in his toenail. I needed to do was actually, and it was like a, you know, for us, a really bad hangnail. So all I really needed to do was just kind of trim that little piece of his nail that had cracked off, and boop, voila, he was all better. So I think what's important too is to really do, you know, in a situation like that, if you're out for a walk and your pet starts limping, to really do a close inspection. It sounds silly, but like a close inspection of his paws and his pads to see if there is anything that's stuck in there or something minor, like a little broken toenail that could be potentially taken care of at home. From an upset stomach standpoint, we want to, think about if there are things they could have gotten into that could have caused the vomiting. Also making sure, if their attitude or energy level is severely changed, that we want to get them in sooner than later, rather than just kind of waiting it out at home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're making me think of so many things. I was at my veterinarian's office this morning. I've actually been there almost every morning for the last 3 weeks because I don't know if you heard the broadcast before, but I've had two sick cats, and then my dog Susie, I finally had her mammary tumors removed. I was apprehensive to do the surgery. I was so scared because I just love her so much and kind of probably procrastinated a little bit, which is something in retrospect you should never do, you know, but she's doing great. This morning when I was at my pet's office or my veterinarian's office taking Marie and they weighed her, and I was thinking, you know, because people don't think about this, you know, they weighed her when I brought her in, just like when they weigh you when you go to the doctor's office, because determining that whether it's a pet or a person, it can tell you a lot. For example, in case in point with Marie, with having this liver distress that she's been dealing with, if she's gained or lost weight, which is really important because she's on a feeding tube right now, right? And so I just never thought of it. Like, you know, when you weigh a pet, like, why do they weigh the pet the minute you bring them in? But it's important, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Because we see our pets every day. So oftentimes, you know, you don't really notice either if they've gained a significant amount or even on the flip side of that, lost a significant amount of weight. And, you know, that's another great point is, you know, most of us at home have a scale for our own selves. And depending on the size of your pet, getting on with them and then getting on without them and subtracting the difference can give you at least a ballpark range if they have gained or lost weight. And certainly rapid weight loss or rapid weight gain in a short period of time can be an indication that something more serious is going on, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I've learned a lot. I've never had an animal with a feeding tube. And so I'm well practiced now. I could be like a feeding tube nurse, not a veterinarian, obviously, but there's a lot to know. I've learned a lot, Anna, and she's doing better. I'm happy to report. And so, and you know, I everybody out there listening that loves animals, they understand. I mean, we love our pets so much. And so it is important to take good care of them and have some pet positive resolutions, right? And so what about on this list that we didn't get to was try new activities with your pets. So what are some of the ideas that you have, Dr. Lobos?
Yeah, so there are a lot of and especially now, when we're all home and it's like, okay, what can we do to entertain ourselves and what can we do to entertain our pets? And there are a lot of really great resources out there and a lot of fun things that you can just do in and around your house. One of the things that we've kind of started this year, I also, besides my four-legged children, I have one two-legged child, and we've done some things where we play hide and seek with, because he's almost six, but he loves to play hide and seek.
Really?
And so we'll do that with the dogs, and he'll go into a closet and call for the dog, for Finn, my Labrador, who, knows works nonstop. And, and Finn will kind of run around the house looking in the, going to the different closets or spaces and places to try to find them and things like that. So that's a really fun thing to do, one for the human entertainment side, and then also for your pets to be able to use this, their different skills and some mental enrichment for them.
I would have never thought of hide and seek. Junior, have you ever played hide and seek with Evie?
Yes, actually, I do.
Are you serious? How could I be?
I do. I'll go hide somewhere, and then I'll just call her name until she finds me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to have to start doing that.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so on this list, too, Dr. Lobos, is scheduled playtime. So, Junior, I'm going to ask you, too. Do you schedule playtime with Evie?
I don't schedule it. I play with her all the time. Like, anytime I see her, I can't not pass her and touch her or do something. So I do as much as I can. I probably annoy her sometimes, but I can't help it.
Well, so how do you schedule playtime? Like, give us an example, Dr. Lobos. Like, taking him for a walk, would that be considered playtime? Because I know Junior does that.
I do that, yes.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the important things is that when we are playing with them, is to really focus and dedicate our mental and physical energies on them. Because I know sometimes we'll take them for a walk and you're also either, I do this with my own pets is, I'll walk and talk. So I'm talking with my sister on the phone while we're walking, while I'm taking my dogs for a walk. And to me, that doesn't really count in the sense that I'm not really engaging with my dogs at that point. When we go on a walk and it's just us and I leave all the digital stuff, behind and away. And then really just kind of focusing on them and watching, what are they stopping to smell and sniff? And, or let's go to this little park and play fetch for a little while and then walk home. And so different activities like that, where we're really unplugging from all of the digital worlds that, is constantly, berating us with different messages and taking away our brain power, to really unplug from that and dedicate some time to just our four-legged friends. They definitely can pick up on that and know that we are paying attention to just them and we're not distracted.
Yeah, and they do. My dog loves, and Susie too. Susie and Love are probably my two biggest ones. And Charlie, I guess, loves to go for car rides. What is it? Is it great if your dog that would count, right? Because I do that a lot. In fact, the other day I came out and I had left the window down just to air the car out, and I came outside and Love was in my car in the driver's seat. Just sitting there. He jumped through the window, Dr. Lobos. I was like, holy smokes. Gotta be careful with that. What you leave in the car, he could, it's a dog and he's a chewer. So, oh my goodness, he could have chewed up anything.
Right. Maybe he was sending you a message. He wanted to go and take him somewhere for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So car rides are good, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you want to make sure that you're doing it safely for sure. You know, oftentimes it makes me cringe a little bit when I see, you know, dogs' heads or three quarters of their bodies sticking out the car window.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, done in a safe way with them in a seatbelt, they get the same, you know, it's a change of scenery for them and they get new smells and new sights. And, even I love it for our older dogs because it sounds a little silly, but it's almost like exercise for them in a lot of ways because they have to use different stabilizing muscles and all of that when we're taking a turn or going, you know, over a bumpy road or something like that. So it can actually be a little bit of a quote unquote workout for our senior pets as well.
Oh, yeah. And I cringe when I see, and actually I typically report them when I see a dog in the back of a pickup. It's real common, unfortunately, here in Texas. Some people do it. And it's really bad. Yeah. I always cringe when I see it. But we're going to go for a quick break. We'll be right back. More coming up with Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On social media at One Life Radio.
All right, are you ready? It is Furbulous Friday, everyone. We are here with Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos live from Dallas, Texas, discussing pet positive resolutions. Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos is the lead veterinarian for Merrick Pet Care, the makers of our Furry Friday sponsor, Castor and Pollux, organic and responsibly sourced pet food. You can find them at castorpollexpet.com. Okay, so Dr. Lobos, I want to get through all of these before the end of the show. On our list is regular vet checkups. What do we need to know? How often should we go?
Yeah, and a lot of that depends on certainly the age and the breed of your pets at home. We definitely encourage at least once a year bringing our dogs and cats into the vet. Just like we get a physical for our own selves, it's really important mm-hmm. for us to have regular checkups for our pets as well. But then as they start to get older, so most kind of lines of thinking support that dogs over the age of 7 are considered senior. So once they kind of hit that milestone in their life, really coming in almost every 6 months to have a checkup is important in the fact that it can oftentimes help us, see subtle changes and catch things before they get too big and too severe for our dogs and our cats.
Yeah. Well, and on this list also, and I'm such a huge proponent of this, of updating your pet's ID. It's incredibly important. And so what types of ID do you recommend?
Yeah, for our dogs, and again, maybe because I'm a helicopter pet parent myself and always watching over everything.
Oh, yeah.
They're practically triple ID'd, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense. So
mm-hmm.
We know we've got a lot of really good data that supports the importance of microchipping our pets. And, a lot of times now with shelters and people adopting dogs and cats, they get a microchip before they even leave the shelter or rescue group that you're working with. But on that note, it's also important to know what kind of microchip you have, where you're registered, and if you move or something or change, get a new cell phone number or whatever it may be, that in their system is updated, such that, you know, even though if they, you know, your dog gets lost and they are found again and scan them on the microchip, making sure that that information, that contact information is correct.
Yeah.
And then we've got collars that are embroidered with their name and our cell phone numbers, and then also a tag that has their name. So if the tag falls off the collar, we've got the name and number on the collar, and then we've got the microchip as well. So all of those are really good tools to be able to find our pets if they, you know, get lost by some unfortunate accident.
Yeah, and it can happen. I don't really want to tell the story because I don't want to go run short on time. But in my brother Joe in Houston years ago, his poodle Pierre got out of the car, an accident, jumped out of the car. A woman was coming by, swooped him up, took him to Florida for a year. He stayed after signs out, and got the dog back a year later. The woman returned it as she was returning back from Florida, going through Houston. But so it's so important. And you know, on my dogs, the ones that are my crazy ones, like Love, I have the Phi collar, the satellite collar that I, remove every couple of days and, charge the battery. So in case he does get off the property, I know where he is immediately. I believe, like you do, that you can't be safe enough. Okay, so on this list is clean out old pet toys and home safety checks. What do we need to know?
Yeah, so, you know, we, especially like this time of year, I feel like people are, when they're doing, you know, their own resolutions and kind of we're starting to get into that spring cleaning mode, our pets' toys are no different. So really looking at them, if they've got some of the long chew bones, making sure that there aren't any, or chew toys, that there aren't any really sharp edges on those. Mm-hmm. And if there are, then we probably means it's time to replace those guys. If you have a basket full of stuffed toys and doing an inspection on them to make sure that there aren't any holes and rips and tears that where they could pull out the stuffing and eat the stuffing or the little squeaker that's on the inside. If you are going to wash them, you know, depending on what they're made of, certainly some hypoallergenic laundry detergent is okay for them. If they're more of a plastic toy, sometimes you can actually run them through the dishwasher in the top shelf by themselves and really get a good cleaning there for them, which is usually, you know, pretty safe because of the extra rinse cycle that will happen in the dishwasher.
Great advice.
That's another way, just depending on what they're made of, that you can get those cleaned up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the music is playing. I hate to cut you off. I love being on the air with you. I had so many more questions, too. We'll have to do it next time. Dr. Ruth Ann, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. You have a fantastic weekend, and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Everyone, enjoy this weekend. It's a great one. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.